Romans chapter 1 and find verse 23 whenever you get there. Romans chapter 1, verse 23. Made good progress this morning. Took care of verse 22. We're right on track. Next Sunday morning, well, I better not put a date on it because I don't know how tonight's going to go. But when we complete this sermon on this passage here, this sermon takes us through the end of the chapter. When we complete that, we're going to go back. I went ahead and prepared the next sermon for tonight, knowing that that was probably all in vain, knowing that it may be a while before we get to it. But I went ahead and had it ready. So it's in the hopper. Whenever we get done with this, we're going to go back and look at one more thing from this chapter, and that is this issue of reprobates. I mentioned, I think, last week that there are some who believe that when it talks about those having a reprobate mind, that these are people that God gives up on and they can never be saved, that it's impossible for the Holy Spirit to draw them and it's impossible for them to be saved. But I want to go back and show, whenever we finish this, I want to go back and show what this really means and what this is really talking about. So that'll be up next before we move on to the second chapter. And in the second chapter, Paul switches from talking about the Gentiles to talking about the Jews. Okay, so for the next couple of chapters, he deals with the Jews next, and then he gets into chapter 3 and then starts talking about both together, Jews and Gentiles. But we have a few chapters here that Paul lays out the sinfulness of man. You'd think when you got to the end of chapter 1, we'd have it, but no, more has to be said. I mean, you talk about someone who would have made a good attorney, made a good lawyer. Paul really makes the case, man. Every time he sets out to prove a point, he just leaves no stone unturned. But we know that ultimately that's the Holy Spirit, because that's who gave us the Word. Amen? So we come tonight to verse 23. Okay, so what has happened? What has happened? Well, they knew God, but they wouldn't glorify Him. They wouldn't honor Him. They wouldn't acknowledge Him. And so then They professed themselves to be wise. They became fools. They had this professed false wisdom, thought that they were so intelligent, so wise, so smart, but they actually proved how foolish they were. What is the next step? You just kind of watch it get worse and worse and worse. What is the next step? And by the way, you can see these steps man in general, but also just in societies, okay? In societies. You know, there was a time when Rome would have been thought of the way the United States has been thought of for years. Rome would have been considered the greatest nation that there was, and it didn't last. And we look at our nation and look at the wonderful things that God has been able to do through our nation and use our nation for, and then we look at what's going on around us. That's just how it works. There are these steps, these slides down into degradation, one after another after another. We see it happening every day all around us. But let's look at verse 23. It says, "And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." Lord, just once more we come to You and ask for Your help. Help me to preach it. Help us all to hear it and to be changed by it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so do we see these things going on in our country? Do we see these things going on in our world today? Well, do you see people who know that there's a God, but they won't glorify God? Absolutely. You maybe work with them, live next door to them. Perhaps they're under your own roof. But we see it. Do we see people still today professing themselves to be wise when they're actually fools? Yes. Everywhere we turn. Everywhere we turn. It's in our own town, our own city. It's in our own county and our state. It's everywhere. Up and down the road. And it would just, the world's full of people who profess themselves to be wise and they actually are fools. Oh, but this thing of worshiping idols. Oh, not in the United States of America. Not here. I mean, come on. When was the last time you saw somebody go into a temple? Idol worship now. When was the last time you saw somebody in the United States of America walk into a temple, which would be a structure built to worship their gods, with special music for the occasion? Okay, people playing music. You know, you think about the tribal dances with the drums going and the dancing around the fire and all that. With their bodies painted in different colors to worship their gods. Making sacrifices, whatever that sacrifice might be. Going into their temples, painting up for their gods, worshiping their gods, special music to worship their gods, making sacrifices for their gods, and whose lives revolve around that worship of their gods. Now, when was the last time you saw anybody in the United States of America do that? Well, in about an hour or so, it'll begin here in our country. And it happens all year long. And it's not just in the arena of sports. It's in the arena of sports. It's in Hollywood. It's everywhere. It's all over the place. What is a stadium but a structure built to worship false gods? Now, we understand that sports in and of themselves, there's nothing wrong with a sport. Sport's just a game. And we understand there are people who enjoy sports who don't worship idols. We understand there are people who watch sports and have favorite teams and enjoy watching them, and there's not a sinful thing about that. We understand that. We understand that you have to turn it into idol worship, don't you? You're the one that has to be inappropriate about it for it to be inappropriate. Nothing in the world wrong with it if you don't turn it into that. We're talking about, has our nation by and large done that? Does our nation worship idols? They'll paint themselves up just like the natives, won't they? They've got their special music for their celebrations, won't they? Will they sacrifice? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They'll sacrifice to get those tickets. They'll sacrifice time with family to follow the game, to follow the team. They'll make sacrifices. Might not be a living, might not sacrifice an animal or a person the way the Mayans did, but it's sacrifice. Do their lives revolve around these things? Many of them do. We're talking about those who worship these idols, okay? It's not just in the arena of sports. I think that in our country, we see it there more than anywhere else. But that's not the only place that we see it. Have you ever seen or been to, maybe back before you were saved, or what? You ever been to, I've never been to a rock and roll concert, but back when I was younger and living in the world, I would go to country music concerts, and there really is not any difference. But you ever been to something like that, a worldly concert like that? It looks like a big worship service, doesn't it? Not a Christian worship service, not worshiping God. Have you seen how the people just enthrong to get near these other humans? I read here recently a book that some might look at today and scoff at. And I was reading it, and I thought it was very interesting because it was written, it was called The Cult of Rock and Roll. And it was written in the maybe late 50s. And it was talking about singers of the time, and it was warning It was warning people about the music. And it's funny that now today people will look at music and what it's turned into, and they'll say, boy, it just, what about the good old days? But you, those of you that were there remember preachers preaching against Elvis Presley and Buddy Holly, and rightly so. We look back at those and say, oh, that's nothing. Yeah, compared to what it's turned into today. But see, back then, Presley, the Beatles, you remember the Beatles, more famous, more popular than Jesus, I believe it was, they said. Okay, Presley, the Beatles, Holly, you name them. They were the what? I don't know very many of them today. They would have been the Miley Cyrus of today. They would have been the Taylor Swift, the Ozzy Osbourne, the Alice Coopers. That's what they would have been of their days. The difference is there were more people back then, I think, that realized this is dangerous than what do today. Okay? Is that idol worship? Well, when you will sacrifice your own life, you'll sacrifice your own health and well-being to get near that person. When you will do anything you can to get near them and get your hands on them, and people have been trampled and killed, riots are started. Why would you do that if you didn't worship this person? Why would you do that if you didn't worship this event? And we could go on and on and on. It's in sports, it's in music, it's in movies, it's in all kinds of things. This idol worship takes place in so many different arenas. But what we have to understand is idol worship is not a bunch of natives in loincloths, painted up, dancing around a fire, sacrificing animals and other human beings to a false god. That is not the only form of idol worship that there is. Because you have to get down to just what is an idol. And anything that takes the place of God in your life, anything that you give the adoration, the time, the dedication, the finances, the attention to, that only belongs to God, you have made an idol. And that's why the list is long and it's broad. And there are so many things that can fill. You say, well, Pastor, I don't paint myself up and go to those ball games. I don't line up to go see those singers. We don't listen to that kind of stuff. Well, don't automatically assume that there might not be an idol somewhere in your life. Don't automatically assume that there isn't something somewhere in your life that you have placed above God in importance. So how could a believer ever do that? You wouldn't have thought the children of Israel would have done that, but did multiple times. Multiple times. You see, if we don't keep our eyes upon Jesus, if we don't keep our worship where it belongs with Him and give Him the place that He is to have in our life, we may set up idols in our own lives. Now look at this. It says, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man. Now let's stop there for just a minute. Man has been obsessed for years with trying to come up with artistic renditions of God. Man has tried for years to come up with drawings and paintings of what Jesus might have looked like. You know, the problem with that is those things become idols as well. You know, you go in somebody's house and they've got a picture up. Oh, did you see my picture of Jesus? How you know that's Jesus? Well, it looks like Him, doesn't it? It looks like what Da Vinci thought Jesus looked like. How do you know that's Jesus? How do you know Jesus looked like that? I can tell you, for one, He didn't look like that, because it goes against everything the Bible tells me. They're always Gentiles. They're never Jews. I don't get it. Anyhow, not only Not only is it wrong to have golden calves, which we'll look at here in a moment. Not only is it wrong to have statues and things made with our hands, we shouldn't even be trying to make an image of our God. We shouldn't even be trying to come up with pictures of what our God looks like. Let me tell you, had He wanted you and I to know, He'd have made sure that we knew what He looked like. I want to ask you this. Through the years of growing up in this country, can you not admit that there are times when you're reading Scripture and you picture what you've seen in those paintings all those years? It's hard to get that out of your head once you see it. Because when you read something, you picture what's going on. Okay, you see it. Now, how often do you see this image of Jesus that you got from some painting or some picture? It's hard to get that out, isn't it? Well, once stuff gets in there, it's hard to get those things out. It says here, changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man. You see, Christ, the God-man, took on a form, took on a human body, but God the Father, okay, God is spirit, the Bible tells us, doesn't have that form. When the Bible talks about things like the hand of God, okay, it's not saying that God has physical hands. If He had physical hands, it would confine Him to a space, and God can't be confined to a space because He's omnipresent. He's everywhere at all times. So He can't, no matter how big the hand is, it would be limited. Christ came in a body. God the Father didn't come in a body. God the Father is spirit. What did Jesus say? He said that He was spirit, and if we worship Him, we must worship Him in spirit and in truth, right? Okay? The Bible also talks about God having wings, okay, that He would shelter us under His wings and things like that. But is God a bird? Does He look like? No, those are metaphors. They're examples. They're illustrations. We understand that God, we can't get a picture in our mind of what God is like. But man wants to see something. I want to see it. I want to put my hands on it. I want to be able to feel it. And so what he did when he denied God and wouldn't glorify God, he thought that he was so wise, but he was actually a fool. And then he started making idols. It says, the image made like to corruptible man. How disrespectful, how disgusting to try to take the uncorruptible God and make him look like corruptible man. Pardon me. It says, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. This is where we get these, when you look at history, or you study other cultures, and you find out that they have gods that look like animals. This is what it's talking about. We want something that we can put our hands on. We want something that we can see. I have heard, now I have not studied this out, but I have heard that, you remember when God plagued Egypt and one of the plagues was frogs? Now I have heard, I didn't take the time to study it out, it wasn't extremely important to me at the time whether or not this was true, I just thought it was interesting, that Egypt at that time, one of their false gods was, I don't know what the name of it was, but it was like a figure like a man that had a head that looked like a frog or a toad. That this was one of their gods. And so then God gave them this plague of these frogs. Okay, you want to worship these frogs? I'll just plague you with these frogs. But we do know as we look down through history that there have been multiple nations and tribes of people who worship things that look like animals. They worship you. You look at the Egyptians, you look at some of their structures that they made. You look at some of the things that they created and other nations and they so often look like animals. Or half man, half animal. There's a lot of that in mythology, is there not? Boy, there's a lot of that in mythology, Greek mythology. Okay? Why? It's one more step of degradation. This is how sinful man is. Man wants something that he can put his hands on, something he can look at, something he can hang on the wall, something he can bow down in front of, something he can pray to, rather than praying to God Almighty himself. And it says that he changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. You know, people are also obsessed. They are obsessed. You know, I mentioned a minute ago about wanting to have some kind of image of God. That's why these books and these movies where people say they've gone to heaven, and I can prove to you biblically why they're all a lie. But they claim to have gone to heaven, and this is what God looked like, or this is what Jesus looked like, and this is what... You know why those things sell? You know why those things sell? Because sinful man would rather have that than the truth of God. They would rather have that than say, you know, we don't know what he looks like, but we know we're not supposed to be making images of him, and we know it's wrong to carve something and make it look like an animal or a man and worship that. Okay? Now look what happened. After refusing to glorify God, man began to worship idols. And again, don't be fooled into thinking that idol worship's only done in heathen pagan countries where natives dance around wooden statues. It takes place right here in our own heathen pagan country where natives dance around any number of statues or other gods. That's what heathens and pagans do. They worship idols. And have you noticed how vehemently some lost people want to hang on to their false gods and want to hang on to their idols? We find an example of it in Scripture in 1 Kings. Go to 1 Kings with me, chapter 18. You're familiar with this passage. Elijah, Mount Carmel, prophets of Baal. Remember that mess? Wonderful how God can take a mess like that and clean it up in a hurry and prove himself again. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21, Elijah came unto all the people and said, "How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him." And the people answered him, "Not a word." Then said Elijah unto people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. All the people answered and said, "It is well spoken." Elijah said, "Let's get these bullocks and let's cut them up. We'll put them on we'll each make an altar. We'll put the sacrifice on the altar. And you call on Baal and I'll call on God." Well, notice he said, "You call on your gods. Baal and anybody else you got up your sleeve, you call on them, and whoever sends down fire and consumes up this offering, let them be God." And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, "Choose you one bullock for yourselves and dress it first, for ye are many, and call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under." And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it and called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, "O Baal, hear us." But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. They're calling on Baal and they're not getting an answer. This is a wonderful story, you know. And it came to pass at noon. And maybe this is one of the reasons I like it, because I'm so sarcastic. That Elijah mocked them and said, "Cry aloud, for he is a god." Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey. Or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awaked. Come on, maybe your God took a trip and can't hear you. Maybe he's talking to somebody and can't hear you right now. Hey, maybe Baal's sleeping. Wake him up. And they cried, now look, and they cried aloud and cut themselves. You mean people would cut themselves because of their idols? Well, I know a tattoo is a cutting, and people carve their idols into their skin every day. Cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets till the blood gushed out upon them. When all they had to do was just admit that God is the only God, they would go to these lengths. It came to pass when midday was past and they prophesied till the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that there was neither voice nor any to answer nor any that regarded. And Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. Come on. Let's gather around now. Get over here. Get over here. And as you go on, we'll stop there, but as you go on, what does Elijah do? He has 12 barrels of water. I believe because of the 12 tribes of Israel. He has 12, because you know certain numbers are important in Scripture. He has 12 barrels of water brought and dumped on that sacrifice, dumped on that offering, dumped on that bullock. So it's already, there's already no fire under it. Now he douses the thing, saturates it with water. Doesn't jump on the altar. Doesn't have to scream and cry aloud. Definitely doesn't cut himself. Calls on God. And for what purpose? Let me find it here real quick. Let's see. 36. And it came to pass the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. What did he want? God, do this to show them who you are. Show them exactly who you are. And then he said this, hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones. Burn up the stones. Stone doesn't burn. Not very easily, it doesn't. That's why you make stone fireplaces. And the dust. Burnt the dirt up. And by the way, licked up the water that was in the trench. Just wiped it all out. When all the people saw it, they fell on their face and they said, the Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God. Well, yeah, what other response would do? No other response would do. No other response would do. But you go back and you look at the length that they were going to hang on to their idols. They were willing to jump up on this altar and to cut themselves and scream and cry all day long. Rather than what? Just admit that God is God and worship Him. You say, do people today hang on to their sin? Do they hang on to their idols like that? Absolutely. Come on, you've known people, you've dealt with people, you've witnessed to people, and you've thought to yourself and maybe said to your spouse, why don't they just believe? Do they not see they're just running their head into a wall? Do they not see it'd be so much better, it'd be so much easier if they just believed? I can remember sitting in church, and there was a elderly lady in front of us and a younger girl probably in her 20s right next to her. And it was one of those days where it was kind of like a, you know, invite your friends and family sort of day. And the invitation came. And now, you know, I'm watching and hearing what's going on right in front of me. And on the one hand, mom or grandma or whoever it is, she's really starting to you know, I really don't want to say badger, but she's trying to drag this granddaughter or whoever to the altar, and it doesn't work. On the other hand, she's doing it because she loves her so much and doesn't want her to spend eternity in hell. Grandma, I understand why you're doing what you're doing, but it doesn't work that way. And the preacher's given the invitation, and Grandma is standing right in front of me. And her granddaughter's standing right, they're in the pew right in front of us. And Grandma's just looking at her, and she's, you know, she's pleading with her. And boy, the girl's just, she ain't even looking at Grandma. Finally, she turns to Grandma and says, "I'm not changing." How could you sit there and hear the gospel presented? How could it be made so clear that you're a sinner and have to have your sins forgiven? And someone that loves you says, why don't you trust Christ? Why don't you repent and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? I'm not going to do it. Well, you might as well jump on the altar and cut yourself open for your gods because you're just hanging on. No, we will not have this man to reign over us. No. Do people today still hang on to their sin and hang on to their idols and hang on to their false gods like they did in that day? Yes. Absolutely they do. Absolutely they do. Folks, the story is the same. The players are just different. The stage is just different. But it's the same story, isn't it? It's the same story. Today, men will worship any and everything but God. Man will worship himself before he'll worship God. Man will worship celebrities. Man will worship the earth. Many people really worship the earth. You think they do? You believe people do that? Well, unless you've been living in a cave, are you aware of this whole go green mentality? Hey, I'm all for being a conservationist. I'm an outdoorsman. I'm a conservationist. I don't want trash in my rivers and when I'm out there fishing and things like that. But this earth is not my mother. I saw a thing on a car the other day. It was something like all natural beauty products or something. And it was something like, I'm trying to think how it was worded. It's like, you know, like Mary Kay, like they sell that, like those independent, you know, Pampered Chef, those consultant things. It was one of those things. On the back of somebody's car, they sold this stuff. And it was something to the effect of, like the name of it was something like, you know, something for my daughters or something. Well, what it was this Mother Earth thing. Organic, all-natural beauty products. That's a mud pack thing, isn't it? I mean, haven't women been putting mud on their faces for years? That's an organic beauty product, isn't it? But it's these beauty products made out of, I don't know, dirt and bark and berries. I don't know what it is. But it was in the name of it. I forget how it was worded, but it was all about Mother Earth. Some people say Mother Nature because they've just heard it for years, but where does it come from? It comes from worship of the earth. The earth is not your mother. The earth is not, nature is not your mother. I saw yesterday, the second time I've seen two of these now, two of these, on two different cars, this bumper sticker. Have you seen it? It says tree hugger, dirt worshiper. Have you seen it? You think people worship the earth? You ever heard of something called Wicca? You know what Wicca is? It's a form of witchcraft where they worship the earth. It's Satanism, but it's more centered on Mother Earth. Well, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator? You think man does that today? You think man worships graven images? Or images of any type? Well, I know kids get killed in the street if their shoes do or do not have a swish symbol on them. I know people are willing to kill in some cities for a pair of Nikes. I know that there are whole gangs of kids that kill other gangs of kids because they don't have the Nike on their shirt. What about material possessions? Do people make idols out of material possessions? Well, I've seen them go out on Thanksgiving night and set up a tent on a sidewalk so they'd be first in line to get the new Xbox or to get the next phone. You think people make an idol out of their wealth? Well, that needs no explanation, does it? You think people make an idol out of popularity? You think they worship other people that are popular? They think they worship popularity in their own life? Look, the players and the props might be different. The story is the same. When man will not admit that God is God, when they will not glorify Him, when they profess to be wise and they become fools, the next step is they worship idols. They make things and people and ideas and philosophies the number one thing in their life that their lives revolve around, and they will sacrifice for it. Oh, it might not be a blood sacrifice. They'll make sacrifices for it. Maybe some of us in here could say, I've had idols in my life. Well, Pastor, I don't know about that. Well, you don't have to say it. I will. When I was a teenager, the idol of my life was music, specifically country music. My life revolved around it. I was just completely consumed with it. I mean, this is what I was going to do. I was just so sure, right after graduation, I'm just going to jump in my truck. I'm heading down to Nashville. Take me two or three songs. I'll have a record deal. And y'all be seeing me on the CMAs. I'll be on CMT, buddy. I mean, they got to just love me, right? Yeah, I worship myself too. Do you know that when God dealt with my heart and showed me what I had turned music into, that there was a period when I left music alone completely. And when I picked it back up, I made sure that I approached it biblically, or tried to approach it biblically. Listen. The players and the props are different, but the story is still the same. Man shows his sinfulness in the fact that he won't glorify and honor God, in the fact that he thinks that he's wise without the wisdom of God, and then at the fact that he will worship everything and make an idol out of everything instead of worshiping God. What's God? What else does God have to say about this? Look at Matthew chapter 4. Come on, there was a. I don't know if it's on or not anymore because I never did watch it, but there used to be a TV show on called American Idol. They don't even hide it anymore. They just admit it. Matthew chapter 4. Pardon me. Christ is in the wilderness and Satan is trying to tempt him. And in verse 9 it says, and saith unto him, this is the devil talking to Christ, it says, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Now you stop and think, wait a minute. He's showing him, it says there that he's showing him the kingdoms of the world. In verse 8, he's showing him the kingdoms of the world. You say, wait a minute, the devil is trying to tell Jesus that he'll give him something. He had every right to say that because he's the prince of the power of the air. This is his kingdom. The earth is his. He showed him these earthly kingdoms. The Bible says he's the God of this world. Okay? He's the God of this world, and basically what he's telling Christ is, all these things that I get to be in charge of here, I'll give them to you. Well, for one, Christ is Lord over all. Satan has a temporary dominion here, and that's going to be taken away from him. I hope really soon. All right? But look, in verse 10, then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. We are to worship no one but God. And Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. In verse 11, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Only God alone is worthy. Why? Because He's the Creator. God didn't create us so that maybe some of us would worship Him. He created us to worship Him. And every lost person who's not doing so is living in disobedience to God. You say, well, how can they disobey God if they're not even saved? God created every single living human being to worship Him. All things. It says here, all things. Created all things for Thy pleasure. They are and were created. You want to know what your purpose in life is? Your purpose in life is to honor God, to worship God, to make Him number one, to make sure everything revolves around Him. And any time that you give that adoration, you give that attention, that affection, that time, that effort, that energy, that money to anything in that way other than God, you have made an idol in your life. And it doesn't have to be an image. It doesn't have to be something that's carved. That's what Paul's talking about. Those are one of the first things that they did. We didn't... we'll get to that later. I'm sorry. We'll get to that next week. He's talking about how in the beginning, one of the first things that they did was they started making these statues and started making these images and things that they could bow down before, and they could. And next week we'll look at when Israel did that with the golden calf, but they made these things to bow down in front of and to worship in front of. You think people today who claim to be Christians still do that? Well, I know people bow down in front of paintings that they say are of Mary and pray to that painting. I know people bow down in front of statues that they think look like Jesus and pray to it. And they would claim to be Christian, wouldn't they? They would claim to be praying to the God of the Bible that you and I worship. But it's idol worship. The players have changed, the props are different, but the script is still the same. This is what sinful man does. And it's just one more example of man's need for salvation. Man knows God's there, but we're not going to glorify Him. We're not going to honor Him. You know what? We're smarter than He is. And I'll tell you what, let's just make ourselves an image or a calf, or whatever it is, and we'll worship that. We'll make a bird. Someone said to me one time, I think I've shared this with you before, someone said to me one time, you know, I think that when the Indians, whenever they worship like the sun and all of these things, that's just their way of worshiping God. Romans chapter 1 says that's not true. When tribes of Indians here in our country worship the eagle and the hawk and the falcon, what are they doing? Romans chapter 1. No, it isn't just their way of worshiping God. It's idol worship because they will not acknowledge God. That's all it is. No, it isn't just their way. Romans 1 says it's another example of the sinfulness of man. Okay, let me close with this. I said this morning that we have to look at these things not only so that we understand, not only that we understand what goes on and why this is going on, why man is like this, but we have to look at ourselves too. We're looking at the sinfulness of man, our need for salvation, but we also have to look at this and say, I, as a believer, have I let any of this creep in? Am I putting something above God? Is there something in my life that's taking precedent over Him? Read the, if you're not here with us on Wednesday evenings, we've been going through the book of Colossians, and the theme of the book of Colossians is the preeminence of Christ, which means that He is above everything. He is all in all, and everything is all about Christ. Could that be said for your life? Is that the theme of your life? Christ is all in all. Or have we placed something? Now, if you have, two people for sure know who that is, you and God. Those are the only people that matter. But you need God to show you what it is if you don't see it yet. And then we need God to forgive us and get it out. And it is also possible that there's something in our lives right now that is fast approaching idol status. Maybe there's something in our lives right now that we're starting to give too much attention to, and if we're not careful, it can become the most important thing in our life and take precedent over God. Let's put the brakes on that thing. Get things back into... say it. That's right. Whew. It's been a rough one. Today's been a rough one. Well, I told you what they did when they put numbers in math. Got me all messed up. Listen. One last thing I want to touch on. I know I said I was closing, and I am, but I want to touch on one more thing. Verse 24. I apologize to those of you that closed up early, but you ought to know better than that. Church isn't over. Don't close them up. Don't zip them up until we say amen. Wherefore, until I say amen. Or the closing prayer. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. I'll touch on this a little bit more next week, but here's what happened. We don't want God. We don't want to glorify Him. We don't want to honor Him. We're so smart. We're so wise. You know what God said? Okay. Go ahead. Listen. God is patient. He's merciful. He's gracious. His mercy endureth forever. And the moment that a sinner leaves his hard-heartedness and says, I'm done running, I'm done fighting it, God's right and I'm wrong, it's time for me to get saved. God's mercy is not, He does not find that, oh, I made it just in time. His mercy had almost run out on me. Oh, I'm glad I made it just in time. If I'd have waited till tomorrow, maybe He wouldn't have had any mercy. No, the reason you don't wait until tomorrow is because you might not get tomorrow. But it's not because His mercy's going to run out before then. That's not the case. He's merciful, He's gracious, He's patient. Oh, He's long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But what will He not do? We see this in this passage. He's also a kind, polite God, and He will not force Himself through your door. He will not force Himself into your life. He will not force you to get saved. You see, that's where Grandma was wrong. Oh, Grandma was right in she loved that young girl and didn't want her to go to hell and want her to get saved. Grandma was just a little off track and thinking she could talk her into it and drag her into it. Not going to happen. When you humble yourself before the cross, you'll be saved. Not when someone else pushes you down into submission, and God Himself won't push you into submission. The Bible tells us that Christ came, why? To seek and to save that which was lost. He will chase you. He will run you down. He will stay on your heels. But He will at no point force you to turn around. You have to stop. You have to halt and turn around. I'm done running. Now when you do, you find Him right there waiting. But God will not force Himself on anybody. Man has proven... We don't want you. And God has said, All right. Go try that out. See what happens. Go ahead. Go ahead and see where that leads. You don't want me? I won't force myself on you. I'll be here when you come to your senses. But until then, if you don't want me, go ahead. Hey, one more thing real quick that we learn from this. We learn of God's restraining hand upon man. You see, God had to, this isn't Calvinism, but God had to, God could have, He could have kept them from all of these things. But instead, when they proved that, when man proved that's what he wanted, God said, okay, He had to give them over. The power of God, that restraining influence that God has in our lives. I'm thankful for it as a believer. I'm thankful for that restraining influence of God. But here's the thing. Lost people that don't want it, He'll let them go ahead. Not, I'll let you go and you never have another chance. We'll get to that later. But won't force myself on you. And church, listen, as a believer, you are as close to God today as you want to be, because He will not force Himself on you either. He will not force you to get in this Word. He will not force you to talk to Him in prayer. He will not force you to be obedient. He will not force you to come to church. He will not force you to serve. He will not force you to witness. You are as close to God as you want to be. Draw nigh unto God, and He will draw nigh unto you. He's polite. He's polite. He will not force Himself. We want Him. There He is. Even as believers, we want to be closer to Him. We can be as close as we want to be. We don't. We won't. And man has proven in his sinfulness, no, we don't want Him. But every time an individual, man, woman, or child says, wait a minute, yeah, I want Him, I need him. When we find that old hymn to be true every time, there's room at the cross for you. Every single time. Every single time. Because His mercy endureth forever. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for what You have told us tonight through Your Word. How You've dealt with our hearts. Lord, I pray this evening that You would do the work that only You could do, that You would convict us and You'd deal with us and You'd show us these areas, Lord, where, Lord, maybe some of us are putting things above You. Lord, help us to cast out the idols of our hearts, whatever it is, and help us not to make excuses about it. Help us not to justify it. Show us where we've set up idols in our lives. And help us to be broken and mournful over our sin and to repent of it and get back into the fellowship that we need to be with You so that we can be the servants You've called us to be. And again, as we prayed this morning, when we look at the world and how the world lives, help us to understand why. It's because of their great need for salvation. And as Brother John already said in his prayer, Lord, to You earlier, if we don't tell them, who will? Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.